We want to welcome everybody to church this morning. We are Victory Outreach Church, and we're getting ready for God to do powerful things in our lives this morning. Amen?
Amen?
So Mark chapter 4, beginning verse number 1, the Bible says like this. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. Now jump to verse 35. And it says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious storm or a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Verse 38, Jesus was in the stern or in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were all terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would put me to the side and help me to convey this word to your people that you placed in my heart. Let it be clear to their hearts and their minds, and let it be applicable to their lives, God. And I pray, God, that there will be miracles and salvations and transformation that will take place here this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many want to go to the other side?
Amen.
Amen. The title of this message is Going to the Other Side. Amen. And we read in the scriptures here that we read that Jesus was by the lake. And he was teaching crowds, multitudes of people. People were following Jesus because they seen all the miracles that he had done. They had seen him heal sick people and cast out demons. And the lame were walking. And miracles were taking place. And crowds were following him. How many know that when something exciting is happening, people want to find out what's going on?
Yeah.
Right? You ever see a fire truck drive by your house? Right? Where's he going? Where's he going? Everybody wants to know where the fire is at. Right? Or we want to see, then we want to stand there and watch the fire. Amen? Right? Everybody wants to, you know, be around where all the excitement is at. Well, Jesus was, he was preaching and miracles were taking place. And now he's by the lake. He's inside a boat by the lake. And the multitudes of people, crowds were around him as he was teaching them. It was a long day of teaching and preaching for Jesus. And as he's teaching them, you can read the chapter, the rest of the chapter, later on when you get home, but he's teaching about the parable of the sower. He's teaching about the parable of a lamp on a stand. He's teaching about the parable of the growing seed and also about the mustard seed. He's giving these parables and he's teaching the crowds. And now the day is over. Jesus and the disciples, they're probably tired and weary. Amen. And then finally, Jesus tells the disciples, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. Jesus finally gets the disciples alone, right? The crowds are all gone. He finally got the disciples alone. How many know that Jesus wants to get you alone?
Amen.
That's when he does the most work in your life, when he separates you and he gets you alone. But a lot of times we don't want to be alone with the Lord because we want to do our own thing. Amen? Right? We want to be busy doing other things, but God wants to separate you and get you alone. Amen. And even though miracles were happening, great things were happening with the crowd. Great things were happening in the multitude. People were getting healed and people were getting encouraged and people were getting strengthened and demons were getting cast out. Great things were happening, but God wanted to work with the 12 disciples because Jesus knew that he only had 3 years on this earth. He only had 3 years and he needed to make sure those disciples caught the vision. He needed to make sure those disciples understood their purpose because when Jesus was going to die and be crucified and resurrect from the dead and ascend to the Father, Those 12 disciples were going to take over his job. Those 12 disciples were going to spread the gospel all over the world. So he needed to spend time with them. So, yes, he worked with the crowds, the multitudes, but he got the 12 alone, and he told them, let's go to the other side. Listen, church, God wants to get you alone. God wants you to go to church. God wants you to be a part of the crowd. Amen? God wants you because we need to be a part of the crowd. But also, he wants you the rest of the week, too. He doesn't want you just on Sunday morning. Amen? He wants you also when you get home tonight. On Monday, when you get ready for work. Or tomorrow's a holiday, when you get ready to rest. Whatever you're going to do tomorrow. Amen? Amen? Or he wants to get a hold of you during the week. Amen? How many know it's good to stop and let God deal with us? Amen? It's good to stop and let God get a hold of us. Because God wants to bless your life, but we can't get too busy because with the crowd, with the multitude, there's too many distractions. Amen? There's too many distractions. When you stray away from the things of God, there's too many distractions that are getting you away from the things of God. But God wants to focus on you. God wants to work in your life. God wants to bless your life. God wants to strengthen you and your family. God wants to do great things in your life. Amen, church. Amen. How many say, thank you, Jesus? Amen. Amen. God loves us. Amen. Amen. Jesus wants to bring revival to your life, to your home. He wants to bring healing. He wants to provide for you. He wants you to grow in your walk with the Lord. There's great things that God wants to do. But he tells the disciples, let's go to the other side. And I want to bring out three things that I see that Jesus did with his disciples by taking them to the other side. The first thing he did was he invites them to travel with him. He gives them an invitation. Right in verse 35 and 36, it says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with them. So here we see that Jesus gives them an invitation. Let's go over to the other side. It was Jesus' idea to cross over. It wasn't the disciples' ideas, right? They were comfortable where they were at. There was a lot of things happening. I mean, multitudes were there. Miracles were happening. Why would you want to leave that? Amen? So the 12 disciples were happy where they were. Amen? But Jesus said, let's go to the other side. See, a lot of times we get comfortable where we're at because we're familiar with where we're at right now. This is where we're at, and we're familiar with this. We know how to handle the situations right here. We know how to handle the things that we're going through right now. We could take care of it on our own. But Jesus says, I want to go to the other side. Are you going to come with me? See, he's inviting you to go with him. He's inviting you to travel with him. Do you want to travel with Jesus? Do you want to travel with him? The 12 disciples, they could have stayed back. They said, no, I'll stay here, man. There's a lot of things going on here. But the 12 disciples, they followed Jesus. They traveled with him. Jesus does the same thing to you and I. He invites us to travel with him. He asks us, I want to take you out of your comfort zone. I want to take you out of the place that you're used to being at, and I want to take you to the other side. The other side represents the place of growth and maturity. God wants us to grow. God wants us to mature. But if we don't travel with the Lord, if we're not following him, amen, if we're not going where he wants us to go, then we're going to be comfortable and we're not going to grow and we're not going to mature. See, there's many Christians, they think they're strong. Many Christians think that they're mature in the Lord. But they're deceiving themselves because they're not following the Lord the way God wants them. They know about the Lord, but they're not following God. And God wants us to follow him, to travel with him, to go to the other side with him so that we can grow, we can mature, so our faith can be strengthened. Amen, church. Amen. God wants to strengthen our faith. God wants our faith to grow. But if we stay where we're comfortable, if we stay where we're at, then God says, you're not going to grow. But God wants us to grow. See, if we're going to grow, then we got to let go of things that are holding us back. There's many things that are tying us down, that's keeping us from growing and maturing. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Amen. The Bible tells us to throw off everything that hinders. Throw it off. God wants us to grow and to mature, to be strong Christians. But sometimes we're holding on to things that are hindering us. Is there something hindering you from growing in the Lord? Is there something hindering you from traveling with Jesus? What's holding you back? What's hindering your growth in the Lord? This morning, God wants you to let it go. God says, throw it off. Throw it off. Everything that hinders and everything that entangles you. Amen. Don't get entangled in the things of this world. Don't get entangled because those things will keep you back. Will keep you from traveling with Jesus. And you'll be able to hear that Jesus went to the other side. You'll be able to hear what happened over there, but you're not a part of it. And God wants every single one of you to be a part of what God is doing. God is doing something in your life. God is doing something in this church. God is doing something. Revival is coming to this church. Believe it, church. God is doing something. Amen. God is taking us to the other side. But are you willing to follow him? God is taking us to the other side. God is asking, do you want to come? Do you want to come with me to the other side? He's giving you an invitation to travel with him. Are you ready to travel with the Lord? When he says, let us go to the other side, that word let in the original Greek, it's not a suggestion, but it's a command. If you study that word let, he's not suggesting the disciples, if you want to come with me, come. If it's convenient for you, I'm going to go to the other side. You know, if you want to join me, I'll be there. It wasn't that type of a let. It was, let's go. We're going now. It was a command. Amen. God is commanding you to follow him. God is commanding you to go to the other side with him. God is commanding every single one of us to travel with him. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. But see, when God commands us, he still doesn't force us. Because you still have a choice. You don't have to follow him, even though he commands you. See, in the military, right, you get a command. If you disobey a command, you get court-martialed, right? Right? And spiritually, we are soldiers of the Lord. We're in God's army. Amen? And God's not going to court-martial you, amen, but you're not going to grow. You're not going to experience what God wants you to experience. You're not going to mature in the Lord. You're not going to receive the blessings that God wants you to that God has for you. Why? Because you're not obeying his command to let go. He says, let's go to the other side. Amen. Let's go. It's not a suggestion. If you think God is asking you, suggesting to you to get committed to the church, get committed to God, get committed to the things of the Lord, if you think God is suggesting that to you, well, he's not. He's commanding you. Now, the ball is in your court to obey him or not. Amen? Amen? Now, listen. The reason why God gives us commands, because he knows what's best for us. Amen? He knows what's best for us. It's like you parents, you command your children to do certain things, right? And not because you want to be a boss over them, but because you know what's best for them. Right, parents? Right? You know it's good for them to go to school. So you command them, get up and go to school. Right? You know it's good for them to eat their vegetables, right? So you command them to eat their vegetables. You know it's good for them to brush their teeth. So you command them to brush their teeth. Right? There's certain things you command your children to do, and you're not suggesting to them, amen? You command them because you know it's good for them. Amen? God is the same with us. He commands us because he knows what's good for us. He knows that if we follow him, we travel with him, that we're going to get blessed. God wants to bless his people. God wants to bless every single one of you, church. But are you ready and are you willing to follow God's command to go to the other side? Amen, church. He is not suggesting. He is commanding us. Let's go to the other side. See, the key to take Jesus with you, no, the key is, when you go to the other side, take Jesus with you. Make sure you take him with you. Look at verse 36. It says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Talking about the disciples. They took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. and there were also other boats with him. Many times we read that story, and we think that Jesus and the disciples, they were the only boat out there. But there were other boats. You have other options. You can travel without Jesus. Also, you can go to the other side. You can travel, but not with Jesus. You have other options. Jesus told the 12, I want you to travel with me. You could take the other boats. There's other boats out there, but I want you to come with me. Amen? Jesus wants you to ride with him. He wants you to get into his boat. Amen? Don't jump into somebody else's boat. He wants you to get into his boat. He wants to take you to the other side. And when you get in the boat, make sure Jesus is in there. Because the disciples said, they took Jesus with him. In other words, they got in the boat and they made sure they were in the right boat. Amen? They made sure Jesus was in the boat. Make sure that Jesus is in your boat. Amen? Make sure he's there. Amen? Don't get in the boat and he's not there. If he's not in that boat, jump out of that one and get into the boat where he's at. Amen, church? This morning, you have an opportunity to jump out of the wrong boat and get into the boat with Jesus. Amen? Because he wants to take you to the other side. He wants to take you to the place of blessing, the place of growth, the place of revival, the place where the changes of God, good changes of God, take place in your life. Amen? So it is time to get into the boat. Jesus invites us to get into the boat. Jesus invites us to be his servant. Jesus invites us to do his will for our life. Amen? The second thing I see that Jesus did with the disciples to take them on the other side, not only did he invite them into the boat, did he invite them to travel with him, but number two, Jesus was with them in the storm. Yes. Did you know that when you go through storms of life, you're not alone? Right, let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 37 and 38. A furious squall or a furious storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. In other words, the boat was full of water. That's how big a storm there was. And Jesus was in the stern or in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" I've got good news for you, church. That if you travel with Jesus, you're going to face some storms. There's going to be storms. Maybe that's not the good part. The good part is when you face the storm, Jesus is with you. Amen? Amen. We don't like storms. Who likes storms? Who likes trials? Who likes problems? Nobody does. Amen? But those trials and those problems are good for us. Amen? But the good news is that if you travel with Jesus, he doesn't guarantee you an easy life. Amen? If you travel, you get into his boat, and you travel with Jesus, you go to the other side, he doesn't guarantee that everything's going to get easy. In fact, it might get harder. Amen? If the disciples would have stayed back and not get in the boat, they would have never experienced that storm. But they would have been nice and comfortable on dry land, amen, and not grow and not mature and not see God do a miracle. Amen? But because they followed the Lord, they got in the boat, they traveled with him. And Jesus, he went to the back of the boat, took a nap, amen. He put his head on a cushion, took a nap, amen. And the 12 disciples are talking or whatever they're doing, amen. Then all of a sudden, a big storm comes. And these big old waves come, and their boat was about to sink. And the disciples, they go look for Jesus. Jesus, don't you care? We're going to drown. Jesus is there. If Jesus is there, you don't got nothing to worry about. Amen? If Jesus is in the boat, let him sleep. He knows what he's doing. Amen? Amen? Don't you got nothing to worry about. You're going to face storms in life. You're going to face trials. You're going to face problems. Amen? God never guarantees an easy life. Being a Christian is not the easiest life in the world. In fact, it might be the most difficult life to live, being a Christian. But the good news is that we got the power of the Holy Ghost. We got Jesus to be with us, to guide us, to lead us, and to see us through the storms. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is with you in your storm. Amen, church. This morning, maybe you're going through a storm in your life. This morning, maybe you're going through a difficult time in your life. Maybe it might be a difficult season in your life. Maybe a health problem, financial problems, family problems, whatever it may be, God says, get in my boat because I want to be with you and I want to calm the storm. Amen, church. He wants to calm the storm. He is with us. Amen, church. Just because Jesus is with you, it does not mean that everything will go smoothly. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 says this. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Amen. You're going through a trial? Well, don't be surprised. Like, wow, man, I'm going through a heavy trial. Don't be surprised like something strange is happening to you. Verse 13 says, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Hallelujah. When you're going through trials, he says, don't be surprised about when the enemy is hitting you up, when the enemy is attacking you or your family or attacking the church or coming against somebody or something or your finances are low or you're going to get evicted or you're going to get or you're getting laid off at work or some trial, some storm comes against you. God is with you. Don't be surprised. Don't be alarmed. God is with you. He wants to reveal his glory. Hallelujah. He wants to reveal his glory in your life. He wants to reveal his glory in your home. But you're not going to experience the glory of God if you're not traveling with him. If you're not in his boat, amen, church. If you're not following where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do, amen. If you get in that boat, you're going to experience some storms. But the good news is Jesus is there. Hallelujah. But I have a question. I always had this question. Why did Jesus go to sleep? Bible says that they got in the boat. Jesus went to the back of the boat and fell asleep. Well, I got one obvious answer would be, well, he was working all day. If you read the chapter 4, verse 1, and you read the whole chapter, it says there that that Jesus was preaching and teaching to the multitudes all day. All day. So Jesus was probably tired, went to the back of the boat, found a nice cushion, said, I'm going to take a nap. Amen. And he falls asleep. Jesus already knew the storm was coming. You think he didn't know? He goes, I'm tired. I don't care about the storm. I'm going to sleep. Amen. He goes to sleep. Amen. Right? And disciples are, you know, they're out there talking, fellowshipping, whatever, you know, they're doing out there. Amen. But Jesus is taking a nap. Amen. So one reason is that Jesus was tired from preaching and teaching all day. But another reason maybe why Jesus was sleeping was that Jesus was with them, but the disciples were not with Jesus. In other words, the disciples might have been fellowshipping or talking, but they were not including Jesus in their fellowship. They were not including Jesus with them. They were not inviting Jesus in their company. They were not inviting Jesus in their conversation. So Jesus said, well, they don't want me around. Okay, I'm going to go back and sleep. Amen. And a lot of times we could be around Christianity. We could be around Christianity, but we're not allowing Jesus to be Lord of our Christianity. We're not allowing Jesus to be Lord of our life. We're not allowing him to be Lord of our conversation. We're not allowing him to be Lord of our fellowship. Amen? When we fellowship, Jesus should be Lord of our fellowship. When we talk with each other, Jesus should be Lord of our conversation. Amen? Who knows what they were talking about? Maybe because there was multitudes of people there, and maybe the disciples were talking about the girls that were in those multitudes. Amen. Maybe they were talking about, did you see that girl over there? The one over there by the boat? On the one over there by over here? Maybe they were talking about fleshy stuff. Amen. How many know Christians can get fleshy sometimes? Amen. On, who knows what they were talking about? So Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to leave them alone. I'm going to go in the back of the boat. Amen. But Jesus knew a storm was coming. Jesus knew a storm was coming. Amen. And so he went to the back And then when the storm came, the disciples got afraid. Now we need Jesus. How many know that when we go through trials, that's when we cry out to Jesus. Amen? Right? When we go through trial, when there's no storm, we don't need Jesus. But as soon as a storm comes, Jesus, help us. That's what they did. The storm came. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? He's in the back. He's asleep. Jesus, wake up. And Jesus probably had one eye open, one eye closed, checking him out. Amen? Right, because he knew the storm was coming, amen. He wanted to see what they were going to do, amen. And so they get all afraid, Amen. How many know, church, that you and I need to cry out to Jesus, not just in the good times, not just in the bad times, but also in the good times. Amen, church. We need to allow Jesus in our fellowship. We need to allow Jesus. We need to cling on to Jesus. Whether it's good times or bad times, we need to cling on to Jesus. Jesus never sleeps. I'm telling you right now. Maybe when he was on earth, he slept. But today, he doesn't sleep. Amen? Today, you can cry out to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Even on President's Day, tomorrow, you can still cry out to God. Amen, church. The Bible tells us in Psalms 121, verse 2 to 4, it says, "My help comes from the Lord. He made the heavens and the earth. He will not let you stumble and fall. The one who watches over you will not sleep." The one who watches over you will not sleep. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never tires and never sleeps. Our God, he never gets tired. Our God, he never falls asleep. Our God is always watching over us. Amen, church. All we need to do is cry out to him and invite him in our life. Invite him in our home. Invite him in our fellowship. Invite him in every area of our life. Hallelujah. Jesus is with you in the storms. Amen. And number three, the third thing that Jesus did to take them to the other side, Jesus showed that he was more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. Let's look at verse 39 to 41. Mark chapter 4, 39 to 41 says, this is after they woke him up. And then in verse 39 it says, "He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Why do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?'" My God is more than enough. Even the winds, even the waves, everything on this earth, Jesus commands to do whatever he wants it to do. If God wants it to rain, it rains. If he wants it to storm, it storms. If he wants it to calm down, it calms down. It's up to God. He can command the waves and the storms. God is more than enough. Whatever you're going through today in your life, my God is more than enough to see you through. All it takes is to have faith. The Bible says that he got up. God wants to get up in your situation. God wants to rise in your situation. We have a God that is an expert at rising. Amen. If anybody knows how to rise, it's Jesus. Amen. He rose from the grave. Amen. He rose from the dead. Amen. He knows how to rise. Amen. He even though he was buried, even though he was dead, but he rose. He got up. Today, God still gets up. He wants to get up in your situation. He wants to get up in your life. He wants to get up and calm the storms of your life. Why? Because he's able. Because he's able to. My God is more than enough. Our God is able to rise. Our God is able to calm your storm. He is more than enough. Hallelujah. Jesus rose up for the occasion to calm the storm. There's nothing too hard for my God. In Isaiah 59 verse 1, it says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear." Amen. Jeremiah 32, 17 says, "O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "Therefore he is able to save completely those who have come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." My God is able. Hallelujah. There is nothing too hard for God. He will rise. He will get up in the middle of your storm. Amen, church. Amen. But what does it take? It takes faith. It takes faith. Don't let fear rob your faith. Don't let fear rob your faith. The disciples were afraid, and they came to Jesus, and Jesus was merciful. and he calmed the storm. We serve a merciful God. We serve a good God. As long as we cry out to him, we come to him, God will calm your storm. But you got to have faith. Amen, church. You got to have faith. He says, do you still have no faith? He was talking to the disciples that had seen him do miracles. They had seen him do miracles, and now they're afraid of the storm. They're afraid that they're going to die. They're afraid that they're going to drown. But my God is more than enough. Hallelujah. He was able to rise up in that situation. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Amen. We got to have faith. We got to have our hope in the Lord, our trust in God. We got to believe God that he can do anything. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Listen, church, listen. Some of you go through some trials. You're going through some difficult times. And you, the last thing you do is lean on the Lord. That should be the first thing you do. When you're going through a problem, a trial with your family, with your kids, in your marriage, with your finances, whatever it is, you got to cry out to God. The first thing you need to do is cry out to God. Come to the Lord. Get in his boat. Travel with him. Amen, church. Don't let fear take your faith away. Are you hearing me, church? Amen. Fear takes faith away. God does not want you to be fearful. God wants you to have faith. Amen, church. Amen. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. God rewards those who seek him, who cry out to him. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. In the Revelation church, the church of Smyrna, this was a church that was going through severe trials and poverty. And they received instruction from God. And maybe somebody here, you're going through a severe trial. Maybe you're going through a severe poverty. Maybe you're broke. Maybe you're going through a heavy trial in your life. This instruction is for you. It says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it says, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. And you will suffer persecution for 10 days, but be faithful even to the point of death. And I will give you life as your victor's crown. God says that even though you may be coming to the point of death, he says, be faithful. Don't be afraid of the severe trial you are going through. I'm not saying that you're going to die. I'm not saying that. Amen. But I am saying that you're fearful. When you go through a trial, fear hits you. Fear hits you. And God says, don't be afraid, but be faithful. Be faithful even to the point of death. Be faithful because I want to give you the victor's crown, God says. In other words, I want to give you victory. I want you to be triumphant over that trial. I want you to be triumphant over that problem, that situation. I want you to be triumphant, but you have to be faithful. Amen, church. Have faith in your life. Don't let fear get a hold of you. Don't let fear rob you. But be a man, be a woman of faith. Amen, church. Amen. Be a man, be a woman that trusts God, that believes in God, that does not allow anything to rob your faith. Amen, church. Amen. See, the disciples, they asked, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. The disciples were with Jesus, and they're asking, who is this? What kind of a question is that? If you're hanging out with Jesus, and you've seen him do miracles, you've seen him heal people, you've seen him do great things, you see him teaching the multitudes, and then they see him do another miracle, he calms the storm, then they ask, who is this that even the storms obey him? How many know that you need to know who God is? You need to know who God is. See, a lot of times we are fearful because we don't really know who he is. Do you know Jesus? A personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. See, when you have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus and a storm hits your life, the first thing you do is you cry out to God. You cry out to God. You don't quit. You don't give up. You don't get discouraged. Well, I've been going to church all these years, and I got all these trials, and I don't want to go to church no more. All these trials I'm facing. I've been faithful. I've been giving tithes. I've been giving offerings, and now I'm getting laid off. Well, why is this happening to me? We get mad at God. We get discouraged, and we quit. The reason why people do that is because they don't know who God is. They don't know God. Because if you really know God, the trial comes, you continue to be faithful. You continue to be faithful with your tithes, with your offering. You continue to be faithful in going to church and being involved and being committed. You continue to be faithful because you know who your God is. That he is more than enough. Hallelujah. He is more than enough. The Apostle Paul, he knew who Christ was. Knowing to the Apostle Paul, knowing Christ was top priority. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Hallelujah. He says, everything I have, everything on this earth is worthless compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. What's the most important thing to you? What is a top priority thing to you? Is it knowing Christ? Is that the most important thing? Or is it something else? See, knowing Christ should be your top priority. The disciples, they hung out with Jesus, but they did not really know him. They were still surprised that there was a storm and he calmed it. They were surprised. They were like, what kind of a man is this? Who is this guy? They've seen him do miracles. And they still don't know who he is. Amen? Do you know who Jesus is? Is knowing Jesus your top priority? Or is it making money? Is making money your top priority? Is having a big house your top priority? Is driving a fancy car your top priority? What is your top priority? It should be knowing Christ. Amen? All those other things are fine. But when Paul says, compared to everything else, knowing Christ is my infinite value. He says, it's an infinite value to know Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Amen. Then Paul goes on to say in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and experience his mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one day or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul says that I want to know Christ. I want to know the resurrection of the dead. I want to know that power. I want to even know how he suffered. I want to suffer with Jesus. That's how much he wanted to know Christ. But see, we don't like the suffering part. That's the part that we don't want. We want an easy Christianity. We want a comfortable Christianity. But my Bible does not tell me that Christianity is going to be easy. My Bible does not tell me being a committed Christian, a Christian that is riding in Jesus' boat, a Christian that is traveling with Jesus, it doesn't tell me that it's going to be easy. There's going to be times of suffering. If I obey the call of God on my life, there will be persecution. Jesus said that if you obey the calling of God upon your life, if you obey what God has called you to do, you're going to experience trials. You're going to experience persecution. You're going to experience difficult times. But my God is more than enough. He is with you. He will rise up in that situation. He will rise up in that storm. He will calm that storm if we trust him, if we obey him, if we have faith in him, if we don't give up. Hallelujah. The disciples, they were asking, who is this guy? I pray you and I don't ask that question. I pray that we know who Jesus is. He is more than enough. Amen, church. The next time you go through a trial, you just got to look up to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know you're more than enough. I know you can calm this storm. I'm crying out to you. I need your help. See, when you cry out to God like that, God, you get God's attention. And God says, I'm going to get up. I'm going to rise up in this storm. I'm used to rising up, Jesus says. I know how to rise. That's not a problem for me. Jesus says, I'm just waiting for you to call on me. I'm waiting for you to call on me. And he will rise and make that dead situation come alive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. The worship team can begin to make their way up. And I want to close by saying this. What happened when they got to the other side? If you read Mark chapter 5, we're not going to read it. But when you go home, you got homework today. Amen? Read Mark chapter 5. All right? But what happened when they got to the other side? They all got on the boat. They experienced a miracle. The storm calmed down. They get to the other side. They get out of the boat. And when they get out of the boat, there's a demon-possessed man in the tombs. He's in the tombs. He's demon-possessed. The Bible says that he had a legion of demons in him. A legion is, in the Roman army, is at least 6,000 soldiers. So Jesus asked this man that was demon-possessed, what's your name? He says, my name is Legion. There is many of us. Maybe there were 6,000 demons in this man. Jeez. This man was possessed so much that he had the strength to break chains off. They would tie him down because this guy was demon-possessed. He was crazy. He was doing crazy things, screaming crazy things. He was getting rocks and cutting himself. Amen. And so they would tie him down, and then he was like Samson. He would break the chains. Amen. Because of all the demons that was, he was possessed. With all these demons, he had supernatural strength. And then when Jesus gets off the boat with the disciples and Jesus sees, and the demon-possessed man sees Jesus, he runs to Jesus and he says, Jesus, get away from me. Get away from me. Demons know Jesus. Demons, they know who Jesus is. The disciples didn't know who Jesus was. But the legion of demons knew who Jesus was. He says, Jesus, get away from me. And Jesus was telling them, get out. And the demons asked Jesus permission. If you're going to tell us to get out, can we get into that herd of pigs over there? We don't want to just be floating around in the air. Can we get into that herd of pigs? And Jesus gave the demons permission. The demons obey Jesus. Amen? How about us? Do we obey Jesus? But that's another message. Right now, the demons obeyed Jesus. Amen? And they got out of that man that was demon-possessed, and they went into the herd of pigs, and that herd of pigs, they drowned, they fell over the cliff, and they drowned themselves. The pigs didn't want to be demon-possessed, amen? So the pigs drowned themselves, amen? And then this man that was demon-possessed, he was healed, he was restored. He was talking normal now. He came to his senses. He was normal. And everybody was surprised that this demon-possessed man is now normal. He's talking normal. He's acting normal. And then this demon-possessed man asked Jesus, can I go with you? Because Jesus was going to get back on the boat and travel some more. And the man, and he says, Jesus, can I ride with you? Can I get in the boat? That's a good question to ask Jesus. Can I get in your boat? Let's get in his boat. Amen. And so you got to ask, Jesus, can I get in your boat? And this demon-possessed man says, or Jesus tells the demon-possessed man, I want you to go back to your village. I want you to go back to your family. There's a lot of people here that need to get saved. And I want you to tell them how good God's been to you. I want you to tell them how merciful God's been to you. Has God been good to you, church? Has God been merciful to you? He's been good to us. He's been merciful to us. Amen. We need to go and tell people how good he's been to us. Some of you have been delivered, set free from drugs and alcohol and gang violence. God has been good to you. God has restored your families. God has brought your families together. God has been good to us. This demon-possessed man, he's no longer demon-possessed anymore. He's healed, and Jesus tells him, go to your village. Go to your family. Go to everybody that knew you were demon-possessed. I saw you when you were crazy. Go and tell them how good God has been to you. The reason why Jesus went to the other side, because he had a mission. Jesus is taking us to the other side, church, because he has a mission. There's souls that need to get saved. There's demon-possessed people. Today, people still get demon-possessed. That's not just in the Bible. It still happens today. Just walk down the street. You're going to see people that are demon-possessed. People still need to get healed. People still need to get saved. There's still gang members and drug addicts that need their lives changed, church. Are you listening to me? They're still hurting people, and we cannot just stay in our little comfortable life on this side of the lake and be comfortable. It's time to get in the boat and follow Jesus. Travel with Jesus, because there is a mission. Jesus is on a mission, and we need to get in his mission. Amen, church. There's still people that are lost and bound. There's still families that need to get restored. There's still children that need their parents back. There's husbands and wives that need their marriages restored. We need to get about our Father's business. We need to be about our Father's business. Amen, church. We need to get in the boat, because God is coming soon. Jesus had a purpose to go onto the other side, even though there was a storm coming. But he knew he needed to get in that boat, because there was a serious problem on the other side. A demon-possessed man. A man full of a legion of demons. And because of that one miracle being delivered, the whole village knew about Jesus. Because as one man was obedient to God, the whole village began to hear about Jesus. They began to hear about the miracles working power of God. How about you, church? Are you part of God's miracle? Are you a miracle of the Lord? God bless two of you. How about the rest of you? Are there any other miracles here? If you're a miracle of God, give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Praise him. He deserves it. He deserves it. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands. Lift your hands to the Lord. Worship him, church.